It's 6 minutes past 10. You're tuned to WMUK at 102.1 FM, online at WMUK.org. This is Let's Hear It. I'm Kara Lawrence. First up, we have a preview of this week's concerts at the Chamber Music Festival of Saugatuck, coming up Thursday and Friday at 7:30 p.m. at the Women's Club of Saugatuck. I'm speaking with Matt Landry, a member of the Acropolis Reed Quintet, which has been known to blow away young children in classrooms as well as the judges at the Fish Off competition. Nice to talk to you again, Matt.
Yeah, thank you. It's great to talk to you again as well.
You're celebrating a significant anniversary this year. You want to tell us about it?
Absolutely. This is our 10th year as an ensemble. It's a number that isn't easy to get to. There are many, many different things that can get in the way of a chamber music group staying together. One of those things is just continuing to grow and progress and evolve. And so our kind of secret formula has been to just always find new things, always challenge ourselves and keep everybody looking for new challenges, right? And new ways to discover things about each other. And so we've had the same five people for 10 years. So we started in 2009, and here we are now. So this concert, the concerts and the outreach activity that we're doing with Chamber Music Saugatuck will be sort of the kickoff to this 10th year for us. So we're really excited.
You're actually returning to the Chamber Music Festival of Saugatuck. That was the occasion on which we chatted 5 years ago. Now, the Acropolis Reed Quintet is a rare form of kind of group, and one that obviously you all had to invest in, believe in, make it over some barriers and things that might have gotten in your way as far as, you know, perception. That conversation 5 years ago is one where you told me that you went back to the Fish Off competition, was it 3 times, determined to come away with the gold?
That's correct. There were some other competitions that we went to twice. Some we went to once. I think generally we were very determined in that way. And we learned a lot from the competitions, not just in terms of how well we needed to play, just purely the polish that we needed to have in order to compete with professional chamber music groups. But we also learned a lot about what we wanted to do with our music, the kind of music we wanted to perform. And basically, by the time we had gone back to the Fish Off competition the third time, which is when we won the gold medal, we had finally figured out the kind of music that we played best, the sort of energy that the music needed to have. We were primarily playing original music that was composed specifically for Reed Quintet by the time we had gone back that third time. And so we had figured so much out, not just about how to win the competition, but about what we really wanted to be as an ensemble. And so, yeah, it really has been a long journey. That was a pretty pivotal moment for us.
So what is a Reed Quintet? Is the instrumentation you use established as a Reed Quintet, or is it still kind of up in the air?
I would say at this point it's certainly established, though still very young. So the first Reed Quintet ever was formed in 1985 in Europe. And for many years after that, it was a one-off thing. It was not standardized. In the early 2000s, a couple of groups popped up, but they then fizzled away in the late sort of 2008-9 era. When we came around, I think because of the American market and the American desire to do and innovate new things, especially within classical music, with American composers having so much of their own identity and American classical music so much championed itself as American classical music. Mm-hmm. When we grew as a group, it really started to take off in America and nationwide to the point and worldwide to the point now where there are dozens and dozens and dozens of Reed Quintets. Every time we visit colleges, there's usually a Reed Quintet, a student Reed Quintet performing at colleges. And so at this point it is, I would say it is standardized. So oboe and clarinet, And then saxophone in the middle, usually alto saxophone, sometimes soprano saxophone, and then bass, clarinet, and bassoon kind of on the bottom. And so that's what it is now.
You're the lone saxophonist.
That's correct. Actually, the original idea behind the Reed Quintet was, I think, two saxophones. Mm-hmm. So instead of a bass clarinet, there was a tenor sax and an alto sax. And, you know, I think that's just too much saxophone for classical music. So the founders ended up going with the bass clarinet. And our bass clarinetist, Andrew, like many, if not all bass clarinetists, was originally just a regular, you know, soprano clarinetist or B-flat clarinetist. And he switched over to play in this group about 11 years ago, kind of right before we started. And we're really happy that he did. He's fabulous.
The place where you kind of established the group and started dreaming was the University of Michigan?
Correct. Yes. Chamber Music Saugatuck is fortunate to have touring groups from all over the country. And usually when we tour, we're not so close to home. But in this case, we're sort of based in Ann Arbor now and all Michigan alumni.
Wonderful. 5 years ago, many of you were still getting degrees in different states and cities and pursuing careers. Have things settled down a bit?
Yes, I'd say for the most part, things are more settled. And in some ways, new challenges and opportunities for people have emerged. Mm-hmm. But in general, I think those new challenges are more a part of the regular cycle of people's lives now. And we don't feel like we're still growing to that settled point. I think we feel definitely, thinking back to 2015 when I spoke to you, I think we must have had someone in Florida and Connecticut and three people in Michigan.
Yeah.
And now it's four people in Michigan. And Tim, our oboist, now teaches at the University of Northern Colorado. So he was the one in Connecticut, so he remains the wild card. But he has a wonderful university teaching job that is flexible and works with his touring schedule and everything like that. So, it's been a wonderful journey.
The five members of the Acropolis Reed Quintet appear on the Saugatuck Chamber Music Festival series this week at 7:30 p.m. on Thursday and Friday at the Woman's Club of Saugatuck. And Matt, you're bringing along a program of which there are two pieces I love dearly and know pretty well, the Mio and the Gershwin. And the rest of the program seems to represent your love of new music.
Absolutely, yeah. We have what will very nearly be a world premiere. We're going to premiere it in Gretna, Pennsylvania, just a few days before we come to Saugatuck. But for all intents and purposes, it's a almost brand new performance of a work composed for us by Jeff Scott. So this will be, like I said, the world premiere, pretty much. Jeff plays in a wind quintet called Imani Wind. Imani is a great, great mentors of ours. And actually, we just got to go play out at their festival in New York City. They're about to some 25 odd years old. And Jeff happens to be a wonderful French hornist, but also a great composer. Mm-hmm. He grew up in New York City and played in studio sessions and jazz sessions, but he's a classical French hornist by profession now. And we won a very competitive and prestigious grant from Chamber Music America, a national chamber music membership and granting agency in New York, to be able to afford a commission for Jeff. And so this is a pretty high-profile commission on a national scale that many people are kind of really anticipating, and we're really excited to do it here at home in Michigan. So that piece is four movements. It's pretty pretty comprehensive piece. It's about 20 minutes, which is long for us. And it's actually inspired by the African-American movement of the 50s and 60s in Detroit, specifically Paradise Valley, which was a part of Detroit that in the 50s was replaced by a big highway development. So Black Bottom and all these different places in Detroit are sort of what inspired the piece. It's incredibly jazz-influenced and super fun. So we have that. And then a piece we've been performing quite a lot over the last 3 years called Refraction, which plays on different elements of the world around us, like viral videos and different things like that, which is also a really, really fun piece that's part of our third album that came out a couple of years ago. So those are the two original works on the program.
That's wonderful to hear. I've had the pleasure of meeting and talking to Jeff Scott when the Imani Winds would tour and visit Kalamazoo. And I didn't think of it until now, but yes, they would serve as an amazing role model of a group that creates its own programming and paves a path of its own because nothing quite like it existed before.
Absolutely. There's a lot of similarities that we share. At the same time, it's easy to form a relationship with them because we don't really compete in a lot of ways because they're a traditional wind quintet and we're a reed quintet. So they have the French horn and the flute and we don't. They do a lot of their own arrangements. They also have a lot of jazz influence and Afro-Cuban influence. And they also have play a lot of music that's from African spirituals and folk songs. When they were founded, they were, I'm not sure we can prove it, but as far as everybody knows, they were the first and only all African American wind quintet ever to really exist. And so they have so much of their own identity that they pour into their music. And when they're not playing all those things, they do have some traditional repertoire that they perform and tons of commissions as well. So they have all these wonderful similarities to Acropolis in terms of the way that they broke in and were doing something different. And, they took a hard and long path to getting where they are now. And so, you know, now that we're a more mature ensemble, we're such great friends. Like I said, we just performed with them in New York, Jeff's writing us a piece, all this kind of great stuff. We have just a wonderful relationship with them, and they're so supportive of us, which is just wonderful.
I read that the Acropolis Reed Quintet offered its own music festival not too long ago.
That's correct. Well, precipitating that was in 2015. So this would have just been a little bit after we visited Saugatuck the first time. We became a nonprofit organization. So we turned our longtime LLC into a nonprofit. And at that point, we began fundraising and building a donor base and all these kinds of things that nonprofit organizations do so that we could build our own festival in Detroit. And so that finally launched in 2017 as a pilot, and then 2018 and 2019 were the first two editions of our festival in Detroit that we call Together We Sound. And so for 2 weeks, we do 15 or 16 concerts, and we do a variety of concerts. So these are appearances in all sorts of different kinds of places. So we have an office workplace series where we do a few appearances at workplaces, like Detroit has tech companies and manufacturing plants and different things like that. We do a few concerts at elementary schools in the city. We also have a year-long residency at three Detroit high schools at Cass Tech, Martin Luther King, and Detroit School of Arts. And so that culminates in a concert that we do with students, and we perform with them side by side, and then we perform at the high schools. And then we have some more formal concerts that are like ticketed, you know, normal events like we would do at the Women's Club in Saugatuck. And then we even do pop-up concerts outside where we play out in parks and things like that. So it's basically a festival of all of our new music, all the projects we've been working on during the year, and a festival of Acropolis going out into the community and just bringing chamber music directly to people that just really wouldn't otherwise be able to experience it. And that's kind of why we call it Together We Sound and what the festival is really all about.
Do you think classical music is in trouble, is dying like we hear all this time?
Oh, no, definitely not. And I don't say no because I'm supposed to. I really, really believe actually that classical music is only going to grow in popularity and in perception because music itself is more accessible now than it ever has been. What I think people who follow classical music very closely and have for a long time just need to understand and may have a little bit trouble accepting is that it's going to become more digitized. It's going to become an online thing. It's going to be something that's going to have to be presented a little bit differently than maybe it has for hundreds of years, right? Mm-hmm. So the way, for instance, that Acropolis presents classical music is to go to schools and play for children in addition to playing normal concerts, or to go to workplaces. All orchestras now have community concert series where the musicians go out and play different kinds of things. They do concerts that are live streamed. So these things are making classical music more accessible, not less accessible. And I think ensembles like Acropolis just sort of should be looked at, frankly, as examples of how the larger, sort of slower moving institutions like big orchestras and things can stay on the front foot. But the final thing I'll say is that classical music, especially modern classical music, which is far more accessible and interesting and relatable than people think it is, mm-hmm. before they actually hear it, that new classical music is one of the primary ways that we're going to do this, because composers, really smart and gifted and talented composers today, understand how to create new music that serves today's audience, that is about things that they care about, social issues, things like that. It sounds a little bit more like what they're used to hearing. So we often think of Mozart and Beethoven and Brahms as the most sort of accessible kind of classical music, whereas young people today and people who are going to follow classical music for a long time are actually more interested in classical music that's inspired by things around them. And so those things are also starting to really catch on. Yeah. And younger people, I think we really underestimate how much young people love hearing this kind of classical music. They really, really enjoy it. The concerts that we do in Detroit are often attended very highly by younger people, by millennials, by 18 to 35-year-olds, things like that. And they're just really, really in love with it. And then through that, they actually start to get engaged more with traditional, you know, older classical music. And I think all these things are going to continue to evolve, and classical music is going to kind of start to get in and be married a little bit more with other kinds of music, and it's going to be a little bit more blurred. But it certainly isn't in trouble, and I don't think it's going to go anywhere.
Oh, Matt, you're singing a song I just love, and I don't know what prompted me to ask the question, but I just sensed a lot of optimism in your work and what you're doing. I just finally wanted to tell our audience that the Acropolis Reed Quintet will be playing two standard works, in a way, The Creation of the World, La Création du Monde by Darius Milhaud. That may not be as familiar to listeners as An American in Paris by George Gershwin. So you've got two great transcriptions on the program.
Yes, yes. And what we like to do when we perform music that wasn't originally written for us, which obviously An American in Paris was not, for instance, we like to find pieces that when we play them, we feel like we're creating something new. So we're able to take the work in its original form, rearrange it, or in the case of those two pieces, have them rearranged for us by someone else. And then in the event of presenting it in its new form, it becomes a completely new piece. So we're utilizing this great canon and this great notoriety of these wonderful pieces, but in doing so, creating a chamber music version that we as a group can really feel fits our identity. So when people hear the An American in Paris, if they know the original, they're going to hear things that they've never heard because it's a chamber music version, and so many things come out that you can't hear in the orchestra version, and they're going to hear it in such a more intimate way. It's really become, we've performed it hundreds of times now, and it just never gets old to play a piece like that. And so that's kind of the vibe that they're going to get when they hear these transcriptions at the concert, and we're delighted to do them.
Well, Matt Landry, it's been a pleasure to talk to you today, and I wish you all the best for your concerts this week at the Chamber Music Festival of Saugatuck. How can we continue to follow the Acropolis Reed Quintet into the future?
Facebook is a great way. Instagram is Acropolis 5 Tet, and then our website, Acropolis Quintet, that's Acropolis Quintet.org.
Great. Well, thanks very much.
Thanks, Kara. I really appreciate it.